Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Host, Al Cooley, Ghosts in the Valley podcast. Welcome back, and if you're new, come back again. I appreciate it. Today my guest is V. V has her own podcast, Life Paranormal with V. V is a psychic medium. She's had a traumatic childhood with dealing with little people and overcoming many, many obstacles in her life, and you really have to check out her podcast. It's really good. I will get into my conversation with V right after V's trailer for her podcast and a couple brief messages, and we will be right back.
Hey guys, this is Vanessa. My podcast is Life Paranormal with V. Listen as I serve you all things spirit, paranormal, and unexplained. Join me every other Saturday as my guest host and I recount our own experiences that will perplex and utterly terrify you. Life Paranormal with V is available on all major platforms such as Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Join the Lifer fam by following me on Twitter at VLifeParanormal. Follow, like, subscribe, and hit that notification button so you can always catch a ride on this spooky vibe.
Okay, today we have V. She is the host of Life Paranormal with V podcast, and it's on almost every place you get your podcast. We'll get to a few of your episodes, V, in a few minutes. But thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very happy. Thanks.
And I want to just start out by asking you, what got you interested into the paranormal?
And we laugh first because, you know, I'm just a very paranormal person, have all that happen to me every day. But no, it's basically just how I grew up, and it's all I've really known. Didn't think that I was, you know, less than ordinary until I really started going to school and in elementary school, you know, being around my peers and realizing that they weren't reacting to things that, you know, that I was probably seeing or sensing. You know, at home, it was, you know, your parents go, oh, that's great, sweetheart. Oh, you saw that. Oh, you're talking to, you know, that's good. It wasn't like I was, you know, they were entertaining, I suppose. You know, my parents were like, okay, that's nice. But I think when it started getting a lot more
darker is when things started to change. And that's when I started to pursue it as far as like reading about it. So I've always had this love for the paranormal and, you know, shows and movies. So that's always intrigued me because it made me feel like I was not alone in this. There was other people that were interested just as much as me and researched this. So that's always started since I was a young girl, I think around the age of 3 or 4.
Right, cool. And I think that's really cool because I listened to a few of your episodes and I think you get the same beliefs I do on, you know, you have a realm there for people to share their experiences and stories with you without them being called a kook or crazy or, you know, and there's so many different paranormal topics out there, you know, and at a young age, you actually seen a little people, you know, like under your couch.
Yes. I just did an episode on that. It was my St. Patrick's Day special. Yes. It's called and, you know, different cultures, different, you know, names, but, you know, I thought he looked like a, you know, just a dwarf, by what, you know, you've seen in movies or in literature, or heard in stories. You know, he was a very small, old looking man, you know, I was just doing regular house chores that day. And it was in the middle of the day. And, I think it was at the top from the pledge bottle, you know, I was dusting. So it had come off, it rolled underneath the couch. So I went to, you know, look under the couch to grab it. And when I looked under there was, you know, this little man. And I, you know, mostly remember his face more than anything. It's just ingrained in my memory. And I remember throwing down the duster rag that I had. And I ran to get my mom screaming because it was, you know, obviously scary. Of course, you bring your parents, you know, it's like in the movies, you bring the parents, not there. It's just in your head. You know?
Right.
But that was something scary, very scary.
It always seems like, you know, when you do try to tell your parents, I remember my first one, you know, I was 14, my sister and I, and it always happened when my mom and dad loved to go out dancing on the weekend. You know, it always happened when they were gone. You know, so it was just me and my sister and my little brother. Mm-hmm. But what we told my mom and dad, they were like, yeah, sure, you know.
Yeah.
And that's a whole story in itself. But
of course,
trying to tell somebody that will believe you.
Exactly.
And I love your podcast because it's so real.
Yes, thank you.
And I've listened to about 3 episodes so far. I'm just started the one with the afterlife and I can't wait to finish that one.
That's a great one. Yes, I have my friend Patrick, Medium Patrick on there. And it's great, you know, these connections that I'm making on social media. I was very hesitant to go on Twitter, which is really odd because I found such a great, you know, family, community of people who are so like-minded and just open and they're so supportive. And I'm, you know, just wishing that I would have had that growing up because, you know, if you have these abilities like I do, I'm on top of, you know, being able to be a medium, you know, I really felt, you know, I was incredibly sheltered growing up. So I didn't know what a medium meant or an empath or clairvoyant, you know, per se. So I knew that there are people that were more in tune. I just felt like I was the only one. So getting into this community of other people, you know, on Twitter, you know, on social media, it's been great. And, you know, I met Medium Patrick on there and, you know, that whole episode, you're going to hear it. It's just, it's very raw and it's, you know, it's emotional. And, you know, some of the stories that he tells, whew, they're so haunting. They're so spooky. you're going to have to let me know how you like it.
You know, it's kind of weird too, you know, because I've been doing this, I'm in the podcast for almost 3 years now. And it's kind of strange. I never came across little people or leprechauns or fae.
Yeah.
And it's so strange that my last 2 guests, one was on a story about a little person in a tree. And the other one was, well, just yesterday I did an interview. She's coming up. She's a fae witch.
Wow. Ooh, I'm getting chills.
It's so cool that, you know, I really haven't really done any investigations on this or paranormal investigator myself years ago. And
yes,
did a paranormal documentary.
Mm-hmm.
I never came across the little people, you know, and then I heard about it through the Navajo Indian culture, you know.
Yes.
It's and she was also a medium and psychic, a gypsy, and I thought her interview was pretty cool, but it was like, you know, we also had our, it's like there's something there just stopping us from, you know, hooking up.
That's weird. And you know what? That usually happens. I will tell you 110%, you know, I used to practice, you know, I was a practitioner. So I had my own, you know, home studio and thus it's closed. I'm not going to say permanently, but you know, because of COVID, you know, my life has changed, but you know, I would have clients that I do readings for, and you know, I'm also a licensed massage therapist, so I do massage and my energy and healing work, because you know, I use my Native American roots also to what I feel, you know, my healing and my gifts come from that side of my family, that bloodline. But yes, you know, the stories about, you know, these small, I'm not going to call them creatures, because they are a their own race, their own people. And, you know, in my culture, of, you know, the Mexican culture, you know, in Latin America, there's stories of, they're called duendes, and they are, you know, they're kind of like house, elves, or, you know, people who, also practice in like the dark arts too. Like witches tend to, have them as a familiar, or to send them to go do their deeds or protect their home. So there's a lot of stories wrapped up around that, you know, and they're also called goblins. And, you know, if you Google or even on YouTube, you look up, you know, goblins in Mexico, there's supposedly videos. And I mean, even my best friend, she's from Honduras. You know, she immigrated here and became a citizen. She was six, her and her parents. So she has a lot of really scary stories. And one of them was of a family who was actually terrorized by one of these things. It was like a gnome or a goblin. That's what I thought them to be in that episode. I don't know if you remember, but I actually had a horrible recurring nightmare that lasted about the likes of almost a week, which was the same thing, the same situation. Every night, it's like I'm in that exact same dream. Never had a recurring nightmare like that ever since. And it was very odd.
Right.
But, you know, I had a few friends who do, you know, they're avid listeners of the show. One of them really hunts for EVPs. And it seems like every single episode I have has an EVP on it. he did find some really odd stuff on there. You know, and upon editing, I also found when we actually start talking about this little gnome, actually, I think it was Asher. She was my co-host. So Asher's was talking about it. And you can actually hear, it sounds like a belch, like something belch, like, a, you know, like an old man drinking his beer and he belches. I was like, oh, how rude.
Right.
I didn't feel anything of it. But, you know, it seems, you know, even today, you know, there's just some sort of thing that stops you, or, you know, I usually have technical difficulties going on to shows, and it doesn't surprise me. I think it spooks people out when they have me on their show.
Right. Well, you know, I've had that happen to me a few times on this show, and I think you've heard about that in my past episode when I
yes, I did
one of the Berkshire cast on the show. I think it was Melanie.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of problems with her interview because of her energy.
Yeah.
So much energy in her since her abduction. And people yes. just don't understand that. I mean, she has sent me videos of her standing next to a light, and the light just, when she gets near the light, it just flickers, you know.
That's just amazing.
It's mind-boggling, really, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and usually most of my stuff also, like you're talking with EVPs and mm-hmm. you know, investigations, almost 9 times out of 10, the best part of my story was outside of the story.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So it was mm-hmm. like it was not on the EVP, not on any recorded devices or
mm-hmm.
So any boxes. It was just after everything shut down, I'm pushed from behind.
Mm-hmm.
A cold breeze going through you, or 9 times out of 10. I mean, so I swear to God, you know, it's like, why me? I can't show people what I'm experiencing. You know
exactly. Mm-hmm.
I did like that. what was her name? She,
Ashers. Yes.
Ashers. Yeah. There we go.
No, that's fine. Yeah. It seems like every time we talk, we hear things. You know, it was our last episode. I think it was, she came on part two of my Helltown show that I did. Yeah. Part two of the episode I did on Helltown. And we also had, you know, technical difficulties. And then when I was on her podcast on Wednesdays, We Talk Weird, we were having for a whole hour, we couldn't start the interview. It was interruption after technical difficulty after another. And we actually caught something on her end too. But I hear you as far as, you know, how you say, you know, experiencing some things and you don't even have anything on hand. This is the first time in my entire life where I've had, you know, evidence to prove, you know, that I have things happening around me. Because up until now, I know I've always had things happen. I never, you know, really had any need to be, you know, as, you know, have that investigative approach to my life, you know, because I've lived it for so long. I never thought to take a picture or anything like that. I mean, I've sent a picture maybe and deleted it of, you know, some scratches I've had maybe, or I think there's only a video I have of my son on his birthday where there's some orbs around him, which I know were his grandmother who passed on, but that's pretty much it. I'm kind of the same way where I've experienced things and I'm like, oh man, I wish that I had something, you know, to prove to others that what I've experienced is real, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
My past guest, I mentioned she was a Fey Witch.
Yes.
You may want to have her on your show.
I would love that.
Give you her name. Her name is Stephanie McGrath, and I'll send it to you. And she has, she's on deathhistories.com, and she specializes in American death histories. I mean, massive people, you know, dying like in flu viruses or the Civil War, all the deaths there, you know, so, and how people can, you know, contact the dead. And she also practices in the shamanic spiritual ceremonies.
Like a priestess or something.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Yeah, she's also ordained, you know, for doing that. And
oh, that's great.
I thought she'd be great on your show because she deals with fey people, you know. And
oh, that's awesome. I can't wait to hear her on your show and hear her interview with you. That sounds great.
And she's also a psychic medium. I'm thinking quite a few on the show, really. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm always fascinated by, like, the one I was reading a book. My sister gave me this book, and it was called Follow the Crow. You know, it's a really good novel. At the same time, and it wasn't in a novel, the crow flies up on this windowsill, is looking at this person. At the same time, this crow flies up on my windowsill, looking in the window at me as I'm reading this book. And then her eyes turn like kind of yellowish, and I looked at the crow, and its eyes were like yellowish. I'm like, oh, what the heck's going on here? You know?
My God.
Then the crow screeches and flies off in a flock that flies around the house. I look out the window, there's like 100 crows flying around my house. And I'm like,
what?
And it was like the week before that, my granddaughters were here and they were telling me, you know, what's up with all these huge crows in the field across your house? And I'm like, well, they're here for some reason. I don't know why, you know. And so when I had this psychic on my show, and after we did the interview and I talked to her a little bit after we're done, she said, how's your crow situation?
Wow.
You know, I never mentioned anything about it.
Never told her.
No, that's okay. They'll go away. They're just flocking right now. They'll be gone. You know, that's how did you know about my crow situation? It's because somehow you're reading something and the crows are attracted. I'm like, okay, you know.
Yes.
I really love doing this podcast because
I love it. No, that gave me chills in a good way, though. That like, you know, ooh, that makes me very, that gave me chills. I got a little bit dizzy right now, actually. That's very odd. And I, you know, it's all that energy. I can definitely feel it coming through.
Right. You know, there's so much energy when I do these shows, you know, like with yourself and others.
Because I'm in the car right now and I was feeling something come through, you know, that's why I was getting dizzy. So I wasn't sure, you know, maybe it was coming. I felt it was coming through from your end, but you know, it's in a good way. I don't feel anything bad. I just feel like you are like, I think when you do these things, you know, when you're aligning yourself, you know, with talking about the paranormal and the spirit world, I think that you are in that, how do you say it? It's like when you're on the right path, right? Your soul path, your soul purpose, you just emit this energy. You are like high frequency yourself, you know?
I have contacts with when I go into a home or a spirit, you know?
Yes.
I'm not there to chase them off, or unless they want passed on. And I, you know, basically if you just ask them to leave, they will leave. You know, I've only encountered one demonic incident, and I didn't handle that because I don't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't like to do that.
No, I don't touch it either. I'm done with that. I did it one time, and that's my first and last I'll ever come near anything like that again. I think you're going to, I think that's how it is with, you know, some houses, you know, that are haunted, or people go and investigate, or, you know, you have claims of something happening and, you know, people say they're not. I didn't experience, therefore it, you know, it's not happening in this home where these people are lying. Same thing with Ouija boards. You know, there's a lot of people who are like, it didn't work for me. You know, all these people who do it are faking it or whatever, but I think it's the person. It's like, you have to everything happens for a reason. I don't believe in coincidence. It's already predestined, you know, to happen.
So getting like back to the, like the fae people, is there like a difference between fairies, leprechauns, little people?
You know, yeah, you're just getting into this, you know, and podcasting and doing research, and I still have to research some more. And I think that's what me and Ashers were talking about, is like, we want to research into more. You know, we have actually a friend who's of Irish descent. He has all of these stories. And, you know, in fact, let me look it up right now. I know he'll be very appreciative that I did talk about him on the show, because he's also, you know, my friend, but also a very big fan of my show. So I really appreciate him. But I'm trying to find the message right here where he was talking about this, because when he heard the episode, he's like, you know what, it sounds like you have a case of something, you know, that I grew up with. It's a Gouragash. And I do not know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's the Scots Gaelic name for a brownie. That's what they call them. He also was like, you know, you have to look into something called a Dullahan. Again, I don't know I'm pronouncing this. I think I'm butchering this. But, you know, when he was like telling me, like, essentially the Gouragash or the brownie is, you know, traditionally speaking, kind of like messes with you, you know. They only turn malicious if you take something from them. They do like pranks, break dishes, stuff like that. But that's what it sounded like to him, you know, what he was hearing from my show about what I had experienced, you know, because like I said on the episode, I didn't feel anything bad from it. He just obviously scared me. His appearance frightened me, but I didn't feel like he wanted to hurt me. The whole thing that was really odd about this was that my mom experienced it, you know, in a dream. She saw something very similar to what I had seen. And it was just really, really odd. You know, I think there's just more of, I think the people who research the fae know the fae more than me, would know what, you know, will know a lot more than what I'm talking about. And hey, I'm always open to people telling me, you know, what they think. If you do know about the fae, you know, like contact me on, you know, on Twitter and whatnot. So
I think that's pretty cool too, because, you know, you have experience in the fae. I mean, you've witnessed yourself as a child.
Yeah.
You know, so what better way of,
yeah,
talking to somebody else about it, because you have experience in it.
Exactly.
And they might have better knowledge on their end, you know, maybe why you seen that, why it was there.
Exactly.
And I did like the one episode too with you. I think your cousin was on there.
Yes. That was a great episode. Renee? I had fun with that one. Renee. Yeah.
Yeah. I loved his story.
He was great. Yeah. I think, was it about his home? Cause we talked about his home. We
it
talked
was a haunted
about
home and the La Llorona.
Yeah. La Llorona.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
She's a scary one, isn't she?
Right.
My goodness.
I love your podcast because, you know, I just was turned on to it, you know, just recently.
Yeah.
I have a few in my library that I do listen to when I'm traveling or whatever.
Yeah.
And I do. I really like the ones that are true, and you can tell it's heartfelt and you're into what
you're
doing.
Thank you. Yes, yeah. Thank you.
Like, you come across that way, and I really, really love what you're doing.
Thank you. That makes me feel good, because that is exactly what I want people to feel and to, you know, really take from the show, is that authenticity. Because, you know, I've seen things go so poorly in the industry when it comes to the paranormal, and, you know, people doing it for the wrong reasons, and, you know, attracted to it for the wrong reasons, or, you know, it's, and I have so much respect for the spirit world, and even, you know, all these these creatures and beings that are mystical and, you know, mysterious and unexplained. You know, I take care of them the way I would take care of, you know, a human. You know, I regard it with respect. I honor it. And, you know, my show's all about that. Even with my guests who come on, I want them to feel, you know, brave enough, because it does take a lot of bravery. You know, a lot of us get shunned. We don't, you know, people turn their backs on us. You know, I had a lot of that happen to me when I really started to be vocal about my abilities and my affinity for, you know, the paranormal and all of that, because of, yes, my religious background, but because a lot of my family and friends just didn't believe it. And so you do kind of grow up kind of stigmatized by others around you. You know, having people on my show, you know, come on, it does take an act of bravery to really tell, especially, you know, on podcasts, when you know it's going to be heard by, you know, hundreds of people. It's hard, but that's what I also like to focus on, is the emotional aspect. You know, I did suffer a lot through this. There's been some great things, but also some really, really dark things that I've experienced. And I go into it on my show. And because of that trauma and everything, it's closed me up. And it's taken me a long time to, you know, really talk about it. And it made me strong. So that's what I want people on my show to realize, you know, is that if you're going through something that's really terrifying you, or something that probably did terrify you, you know, years ago, it's still scarred, you know, you're still scarred from it. I want them to understand, like, you know, there's hope. You know, you have to bring up that inner power, because nothing, you know, can empower you if, unless you give it the power to. So I really work from that place of faith and my spiritual practices. And that's just my hope to others, is that they also find their own inner power and stand in their own faith, that, you know, stand against these forces. Cause I think we're pretty much in the, you know, dark ages again, where it's, you know, there's nothing but hatred all around us.
Oh my God.
So right. we have to really just bring out the light a lot, because, you know, there are really bad things preying on us right now, and on the weaker and more easily influenced. And, you know, there's all these horrible acts of hatred and violence and murder happening. And it's just very demonic, you know, it's just very evil. There's just so much evil. And I think that I was just really called upon it one day. I it was not even a dream. It wasn't even a premonition. It was like the loudest message from, you know, my spirit guides that I could hear. It was just like, you have to do a podcast. I never in a million years would have thought I'd be doing this. I actually took a huge hiatus from social media. I quit it for years. I haven't had anything, you know, maybe a Snapchat to communicate with my family, take pictures, but nothing. I never thought I'd be on Twitter, let alone, you know, broadcasting my life to thousands of people. So like I said, coincidences happen for reasons really unbeknownst to us.
Right. And what was your religious, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm Catholic. I'm still Catholic. So I, you know, I still practice and have my own church, and I really do it because that's just, I went away from my faith for a while, but really came back. And that's just, that's what gets me through everything. You know, everybody is different, and I respect that. So
some of these responses I get from people, and you'll probably get the same thing. You know, there are a lot of people that give you hate mail or about the UFOs, when I've had my UFO segments on there, and how these people are nuts. You know, they don't understand. I wish they could, I don't know how to put it. You know, that I witnessed with the investigations, and also what happened in my own community years ago.
Yeah.
And these stories link together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like it just happened in whatever, you know, California or Washington, D.C.
All the time.
And I'm going to get more into it in future episodes on people that are here, you know.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, it gives me chills because I believe it. I think I'm more scared of aliens just because I've experienced it too. I've experienced a UFO with you know, my husband and my father-in-law. You know, I've gone on other shows talking about it, and there's other stuff that has happened in my family. You know, I don't like to talk about it so much because it happened to a little cousin of mine, but I know for a fact, I mean, at least we do feel like he was abducted, you know. There's just so much wrapped into that, you know. And I think on the outside, it's just so easy to call someone crazy, or, you know, I still deal with skeptics all the time. I mean, I have them in my family, and, you know, just friends and other people. It's fine. I understand where people are at, you know. And I also know, even as, you know, a medium and clairvoyant, you know, being that myself. I know that it's just fear-based, and it's fine. You know, I'm never going to pressure someone to believe in me or, you know, my stories. But I know that I had to turn my gifts off for a long time because I just wanted to belong. I didn't want to be different. And I turned very skeptical, you know, oh no, this must have been, it's not that. What I saw was, you know what I mean? I would deny myself. I started denying my own gifts. I started denying what I already knew to be real, but I was trying so hard to fight it because it was fear-based. I didn't want to be different. I don't want to open myself up to all this. I just want to be a normal teenager and go out and date guys and, you know, sneak out at night.
Right.
You know, I wanted to be a teen. But I can understand. That's why I understand skeptics so well. I don't like to argue with them. I won't even get into it with them because there's no need. I just laugh.
They want to believe.
Yes.
They're told not to believe.
You're talking of what I'm feeling right now, because I was about to say those words and you just said it yourself. That's what I feel too, is ultimately, you know, researchers who investigate who are non-believers, right? I think there's a part of them that really is doing all of this because they want evidence to, you know, they want to catch something to just prove to themselves that this is real. There's something in there that longs for it, I feel, to be real. And I don't think, you know, some of them would say, no, I'm trying to disprove it. I'm trying to disprove that all of this is, you know, in someone else's head or is not happening. But I think subconsciously, I think they really want to know.
Right. And with you being a Catholic, you know, are you from Mexico?
I have a lot of family. I'm Mexican American. Yeah.
Did you have a hard time when you discovered you had the abilities of being a medium, separating that your Christian beliefs?
Yeah, I think that. Ooh, and I get emotional talking about it because my grandmother, when I really started doing massage therapy and really work, you know, I did some work on my grandma one time and she looked at me and she, in Spanish, you know, I'll translate in English, but she said, you have healing abilities. You have a gift. In my culture, we call it a don. Tienes un don, when it means you have gifts. You know, these are spiritually given to you from the divine. You know, you're meant to do something big in this world. And she felt that in all seriousness. And this is my grandmother who I have my Native American roots, which is very odd that we're talking about this and, you know, culture and race, because, you know, I just had one of those, you know, 23andMe DNA tests. And I believe I'm like 54% Spanish.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
So from Spain, Spanish, Portuguese, and I'm like 34% Native American. So that's, you know, Spaniard is on my dad's side. So we're very Spanish on my dad's. And I know I'm very Native American on my mom's. But, you know, it's just very interesting because, yes, there are Catholic, you know, faith talks about that. But I was also grown up to, you know, my parents were like, don't talk about this stuff. Don't bring books about, you know, the occult or all that other stuff in the home, because when you talk about it or bring it in, you're inviting it in. You know, that's a lot how my culture is. You know, a lot of my aunts and uncles and, you know, my own parents believe that, you know, you must not speak about it, or, you know, because it's, you give it power, you know, you basically draw it to you.
You're waking up the dead, you know, you're waking up the spirit.
Yeah, just respect them. And very much in our culture, we regard the dead. You know, we have the Día de los Muertos, and that's just something that I like to celebrate throughout the year. You know, I have my own altar with my loved ones, pictures on there, and I celebrate them every day. That's just, the spirit world is regarded differently, you know, for us.
I just love Native American culture.
Yes.
We were talking about shamanic a little earlier, and Reiki, you know.
Yes, yes.
Yoga. And I did. I experienced that for the first time last year. My wife and I went to a healing tent.
Oh,
It's erected every year by Native American Indians, and you know, it's so cool to go there and just release yourself, you know. And
oh, that's great.
With the tobacco and the sage, and you know, and throwing your trouble into the fire and passing around a circle. You know, it's so.
Uh-huh.
And I went through it because I had bad knees and my knees were killing me. And I'm like,
oh,
my sister, she's also a pastor. You know, she says, this will help you. And I said, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you really believe that? And I said, she says, I do. You know, I go there regularly.
Yeah.
She said, that's fine. You know, the lady operating it, you know, teaching it. And you know, when I left her, I had my knees did not hurt.
Wow. You have, what I'm hearing is that, you know, especially, ooh, I'm getting chills. I'm getting confirmation. So the knees represent your will to surrender. So, you know, those ceremonies, you know, I've been in them, initiated them. And I feel like you have your spirit just surrenders, you know, it goes through this release. And, you know, what do you do when you pray? You fall to your knees. It's just, you know, look at throughout history, you fall to your knees and as an act of surrender, you know, and it's just this very spiritual meaning behind it. And, you know, the knees just hold so much, you know, energy in them. So yeah, I can definitely see that.
You had a chance to listen to one of my past episodes called Indian Johnny.
I'll have to.
I can really relate to that story that was sent to me a few years ago. And mm-hmm. a few things that happened in my life is in this story.
Yeah.
From a story that was sent to me from Philadelphia. You know, so we have no connection. Parts of that story that I relate to, that I grew up with.
Wow.
Being on an Indian reservation and seeing the mm-hmm. Lakota Indian tribe and some of the rituals, you know, and things they did. And when he's telling me the story, it was like, wow, deja vu.
Oh, that's such a good, that gives me chills. That's so great. I love that.
And I, you know, before you close out of here, I did listen to one of your episodes and at the beginning you were talking about suicide. And
yeah.
mm-hmm. I was totally, totally blown away.
Yeah. You know,
because I felt the pain in your voice. I felt, you know, how I'm just proud of you for coming back from your problems and yeah. conquering what you went through. And I think you really probably touched a lot of people out there that can relate to you, you know.
Thank you.
I know that my friend, like I sent you a song that he did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was at their house. I was at Vinny's house with his mother. So I witnessed the spirits there in her house.
Yeah. Oh, so my God.
That's so, uh-huh. Oh, my God. I cannot, like, I can't tell you. It was just.
Oh, I'm getting emotional. I'm getting emotional.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's okay.
It touched me in a way that spirit or memories to me at that moment.
Yeah. He was with you, definitely hearing that, you know, that, you know, there's no way of explaining it and why, but, you know, when you do think of them in that time, it's because he's there with you. He was experiencing and hearing it himself too, in that moment as well. But, thank you. It wasn't an easy decision to make, but it was the right decision to make. And I'm glad I've had a lot of people reach out to me and say thank you. And I'm glad that it brought, you know, his spirit alive again. And, you know, thank you for sharing that with me. That was just that was such a tragic thing that happened, you know?
Well, the thing I didn't tell you and everything, but you know, like the, his suicide, you know, his ruled a suicide by the coroner. His mother strongly kind of like leaning towards her, you know, that it was not a suicide.
Wow.
You know, and then when I contacted the detectives and it happened mm-hmm. in my county. So I, mm-hmm. when I contacted the detectives that were involved in the case, I was basically told to drop it.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's, I was really touched by that opening and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
So I put you in my listen list now so I got to catch up on the other ones. Well, how old were you when you felt you had the gift?
When I had those gifts, I felt it mostly more prolific, I think, when I had a very serious, and I haven't talked about this on the show yet, but I did almost pass away. I had something really traumatic happen when I was 6 and I needed emergency surgery. Man, I don't know if I should say what it was, but no, I had a near-death experience and I experienced something in that room. And ever since then, it was like things just escalated. I had out of body experiences. I actually feel like I was astral projecting in the middle of the day. That, or I don't know, I was probably being abducted. Who knows? But I literally felt, in, you know, it wasn't just my spirit coming out, it was my whole body being lifted up in the air. And yeah, I'll get into that in one of my episodes. I'm still trying to work myself up because there's so much that has happened within the 34 years of my life. I'm trying to, like, you know, spread it out, you know, with my show. But right. I started seeing things, and really the deja vu and the dreams were really pronounced. But I think it was when my parents started getting afraid that I knew this is something different. It was mostly during the night. And I think, I don't know if when you do begin the show from the beginning, you're going to listen to the times when it was a lot of the evil stuff that started to come in. And that is when I realized, okay, this is something, you know, this is something really peculiar, you know. Until then, I knew that I was seeing things. I was just like, okay, well, there's just people who see things, some people who don't. But when I started noticing that things were coming to me, okay, I was like, this isn't a coincidence. There's something else going on, you know, spiritually wrong. Is it the home? Is it like a generational thing in my family? Because it got really chillingly dark for some time until I was confirmed and I did my first Holy Communion. Mm-hmm. I noticed that a lot of the other bad stuff stopped, you know. I still experienced a lot, but it's kind of different. Like, I think I talked about it on that episode that you were talking about, you know, when I was speaking of my, you know, suicidal thoughts and attempts. Once, and I don't know if this is, but it's really common in the clients I've worked with who are teenagers. Once they hit that certain age, it's like, then you start feeling things so much more powerfully and experiencing them, you know, depression, anxiety, you know, in kids who are gifted, you know, it's very prevalent. And it's because we don't know what's happening. We don't know how to control our gifts. We don't know how to cleanse ourselves and release some of the energy and things that have manifest in our bodies, or we've taken unknowingly, like a sponges, and we take that within ourselves and we absorb it. You know, we absorb those energies, and a lot of what I was feeling in that dark time as a teenager was just that. And I had no knowing that that wasn't all mine. You know, I wasn't a very depressed kid. I didn't think that I was, and even now I'm not diagnosed with that. You know, I'm diagnosed with other things, but it's definitely not depression. But I understand now as an empath. I knew very well who I was picking up on and why, because it was very much something in my home and in the bloodline and everything. So I knew then that there was something off, because I knew there was something that with the deja vu, getting visited by spirits more, having more weird other things come up. That was when I was going through stuff.
You have any like personal connection with a few of your spirit guides?
Oh yeah, I do. They're very private like I am, but no, they're very much around. And, you know, I have one that's very, obviously they're with you all the time, but he is always with me. I do have spirit animals that I also work with, and they're always with me and around my home. And they've showed themselves to me in physical form and you know, dreams. And they never leave you either. They're assigned to you. So you're everyone's born with an animal spirit, you know, mm-hmm. a guide and protector. So it's great. Now I'm at that age where I love it. You know, I love all this, you know, accepted it, and I'm very blessed for it.
I just asked that question because most of my past mediums and psychics, you know, they, uh-huh. and you probably can relate to this, is you feel like you're gifted with your, you know, gift. You know, but also it's almost like a curse.
It is.
It's put on you.
Yeah, it really is. It's a burden sometimes when, especially, you know, I've tried to put up walls, you know, not to read family or friends. And I don't, I'm very, you know, even with you, you know, until you started talking about your friend, you know, because you started talking about it, I was, you know, stuff started just channeling in. And, but I don't, you know, go in and start talking to you and start reading, you know, just because I've learned it's kind of like someone walking into your house unannounced, and it's just disrespectful and rude. So I don't like to just pull someone's energy. You know, I my culture is very much about respect, you know, respecting others and honoring them. I learned not to do that with my husband or, you know, family and friends, only when they ask me like, hey, do a reading, or can you feel anything around me? Do you feel anything odd about my home? You know, I've been feeling it off. So yeah, it is a burden when you feel things about others.
Yeah, I had a past guest on, and she said she was close to suicide because this is chilling to me, but she was contacted by all those people that hit the Twin Towers.
Oh no!
So she knew she knew it was happening before it happened.
Oh no!
So when she jumped out of bed, she screaming that something, hundreds of lives are lost.
Oh no!
There's evil that just happened, and it was like a decline, like you're going down a steep incline. People screaming, and she says she can't get that out of her head. You know, so she herself had to go talk to other therapists too.
Mm-hmm.
And she says she's constantly, you know, most of the time it is a gift. It is something that, you know, can help people, you know.
Yeah.
But she says there was a few times where she wished she didn't have it, you know.
I agree with her. That's horrible that she had to experience that. But I've been in that situation. I still am. You know, it's still, I think you can hear it on my show. Like you say, there's just a lot of pain and a lot of, you know, it wasn't just like, there's been some really great things that have happened to me and that I've experienced. And it's just been wonderful. But they're, you know, the parts that have just been really traumatic and dark, you know, that's just something that's always going to stay with me. And I always talk on my show that, you know, the best thing is, you know, therapy is a beautiful tool and counseling is such a great resource. You know, I'm actually a psych major, you know, and that's just what's calling me in this lifetime is to help others with trauma. And I understand it greatly. There's nothing that I recommend people more than to go talk to someone, you know, and seek help. That's just what saved me. And what helped me still helps me. I'll probably be in it forever, but that I think that's just very healthy and it's very normal. And I don't know why it's still not normalized in this society. People still make it seem like, you know, yeah, there's something wrong with you, or you know, it's just it's still stigmatized, and I hate that. I really do.
Right. Well, I want to thank you for being on the show and really for opening up and sharing yourself with us today. And I will put all your links in the bottom of the show notes where they can contact you. Where can they contact you at?
So you can find me on Twitter at VLifeParanormal. You can follow and subscribe on Twitter and just kind of be updated on what I'm doing on my show. I also have my website at www.lifeparanormalwithv.com. It uploads my recent episodes on there, and you can find my podcast on all your podcast platforms. Please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts if you do enjoy it. I'd love to hear from you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alton. You have a great night. Thank you.
I want to thank V for her time and her knowledge. It was truly my pleasure to have her on the show today. And make sure you check out V's podcast, Life Paranormal with V. Her links will be posted in the show notes, so make sure you do click on those and check those out. And as always, please rate and review my podcast on Apple Podcasts, Ghost in the Valley Podcast. I truly would appreciate that. On the last episode, I mentioned that I had went to a healing tent near my hometown in Ohio. It's in Ravenna, Ohio, and it is called the White Barn Healing Arts Center. It's a tent that's erected every year around spring and taken down after fall. It's put up by the Native American Indian and taken down by the Native American Indians. And the classes are run by Annette Bragg. And what the White Barn Healing Arts Center actually does is they promote wellness, peace, and healing for the body, mind, and spirit through natural and homeopathic practices. Also relaxation and healing techniques, spiritual guidance, and support. And among all of that, they also take in animals that are going to be put down, and they can live out the rest of their lives on their farm. It's really, really worth your time to visit this place. My wife, myself, my sister, my nieces, we go there and we really, really leave there with inner peace and relaxation. So please check them out on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, under the White Barn Healing Arts Center or the White Barn Healing Arts. I will leave their link also in the bottom of this podcast. As always, thank you for stopping by, listening on Ghosts in the Valley. I'm your host, Al Cooley.